If you'll open your Bible to 1 John, not John's Gospel, but John's first letter, back toward the back of your New Testament. And just one announcement before I read the text, and that is that we are going to have a congregational meeting today at 10:30 between services. It shouldn't take very long to elect a search committee for our associate pastor job search. And I would like to clarify one thing. When I first announced this, I used the word retirement in reference to myself. And I think some people have already started planning the party. And we're talking years, not months. I'm not going away anytime soon. We're calling an associate pastor with the thought that as God leads, that person could eventually move into the position of pastor when I retire. Okay? Now, perhaps that comes as disappointing news to some, but I don't have an expiration date on me. Let's turn to 1 John. And I'm actually not going to read as much as the bulletin says. I'm going to start with verse 5, but just to give you a little introduction and a little context. One of John's great themes, both in his gospel and in his letters, one of John's great themes is light and darkness. The light of God that has come into the world through the Son of God, Jesus Christ, who is the light of the world. It's in John's gospel that Jesus says, "I am the light of the world. Whoever comes to me will no longer walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." The resurrection of Jesus is like this giant explosion of light into the world, God's truth, because light is really an image of the truth of God. And in his resurrection, Jesus confirmed the truth of everything that he had said. It's in Mark's gospel that the angel at the tomb says to the women who have come to visit the tomb, they find it empty, and the angel at the tomb in Mark's gospel says, "He is not here, he is risen just as he said." The resurrection confirmed the truth of his word. That means that everything that he had said up to that point is confirmed as true. It means that all of God's word that prophesied Christ is proven to be true. The light has come into the world. The light of God has come into the world through Jesus Christ. Okay, now, so let's pick up with verse 5. 1 John 1, verses 5 through 10. Hear now the word of God. "This is the message we have heard from him and proclaim to you, that God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with him While we walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. The word of the Lord. Would you bow with me? Oh God, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O God, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. As I said, one of John's favorite themes is this theme of darkness and light. And sometimes, and particularly in discouraging moments, we can begin to think that the darkness in this world is just too powerful. The darkness in our own lives, too strong. And sometimes the light of God, the light of God's truth, seems to be overwhelmed by the darkness. Well, then on the other hand, sometimes this world deceives itself that we can generate our own light, and the light of human beings is going to overwhelm the darkness of this world. I want you to think back with me to a time in history when it seemed like, from a human perspective, wow, the light was just dawning. It was like the dawning of a brand new day. And I'm thinking back a lot of years, back to 1989. Now, yes, yeah, very ancient history, right? In 1989, I was 33 years old, and something happened in 1989 that I thought I would never see in my lifetime. I was born in 1956. I grew up with hearing about things like the Iron Curtain, the Berlin Wall, totalitarian communism that seemed to rule half the world. And those of you that were around, remember 1989. Something happened that, like I said, I thought I would never see in my lifetime. The Berlin Wall came down. The Iron Curtain evaporated. The communist dictatorships of Eastern Europe and the Soviet Union crumbled. There was this new birth of democracy in Eastern Europe, and even in Russia, what looked like a new birth of democracy, even in Russia. Like I said, I thought I would never see that in my lifetime. Well, just a couple of years later, in 1992, a well-known scholar named Francis Fukuyama, he's an American scholar, he wrote a book called The End of History. And in this book, he essentially said, all of the great evils have been defeated. Democracy has triumphed over fascism and Nazism. Now we've triumphed over totalitarian communism. And so now democracy is just going to flourish all over the world. It's going to bring prosperity and freedom to every corner of the globe. Peace will reign. This is what he meant by the end of history. Like all the evils have been defeated. Well, how did that work out? It turned out that the darkness was much more stubborn than he thought. The darkness of this world can be deeply discouraging. And so, how good to know what John tells us in verse 5. This is the message we have heard from him and proclaim to you, that God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. There is a pure light. There's a light that can never be extinguished. God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. Now, sometimes we're tempted to think that there is darkness in God. Some people think that God is like the Force in Star Wars, right? Some people think that. And remember, the Force has a dark side. The Force can be used for either good or evil. But God is light. In him there is no darkness at all. Even when the darkness comes, God can use it for his good purpose. Remember what Joseph said to his brothers who had sold him into slavery, but he ended up being a prince of Egypt and saving thousands from famine. And Joseph said to his brothers, "When you sold me into slavery, you meant it for evil, but God meant it for good." Even the darkness, God can turn to good. So what does John mean when he says God is light? As I was telling you earlier, in the Bible, light is a synonym for truth. Remember that the psalmist in Psalm 119, the psalmist says, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet, a light unto my path." God's truth shows the way to a life that pleases God. And then verse 6, John gives us a test of authentic Christian faith. And he has a number of these tests throughout his letter, but he gives us a test of authentic faith. He says, "If we say we have fellowship with him while we walk in darkness," and that's an image of life, of are you living in darkness? "If we say we have fellowship with him while we walk in darkness, we lie and we do not practice the truth." If our way of life shows darkness rather than light, John says we're lying. Now, I want to ask you the question, who are we lying to? Well, we're certainly not lying to God. He sees right through us. And I hate to break this to you, you're also not lying to the people around you. they will see through it. The only one you're fooling is yourself. But there's a marvelous alternative in verse 7. John says, "But if we walk in the light as he is in the light," in other words, live in the truth, "if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another." To walk in the truth, to live in the truth, is the beginning of real fellowship. "If we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus his Son cleanses us from all sin. The only way to live in the truth is to be cleansed by the blood of Jesus. Because when we're cleansed by the blood of Jesus, we no longer need to hide. We don't need to hide our sin. We don't need to be ashamed of it because it's been cleansed. When you're washed in the blood of Jesus, you have nothing to hide. John doesn't put it this way, but one of the tests of a genuine Christian is if somebody doesn't know the Lord and you call them a sinner, they're going to be offended. Call a Christian a sinner and he'll say, yeah. Yeah, that's me. Washed in the blood. And once again, when we try to put on our I've got it all together act, once again, you're the only one being fooled. But the reason we can have fellowship, John says now, because we're in the light, we have fellowship with one another. We don't have to cover up. We don't have to manage our sin problem. We don't have to hide our angry deeds and lustful thoughts and selfish ways we treat people. We can confess them, get washed. How much better to be cleansed so that we can tell the truth and have fellowship with God and with one another. Now, I'm going to suggest to you that there are two kinds of Christian groups. But like with a lot of dichotomies, I think probably all Christian groups bounce back and forth between these two types. So don't take this as, you know, it's either one or the other. But for purposes of this sermon, there's going to be two kinds of Christian groups. One is where the first kind, it's in the darkness, not in the light. And people are trying to manage their image and the impression that others have of them. And everybody needs to prove to everybody else how good and righteous and pure they are. That kind of fellowship is stilted. It's based on saying the right things, avoiding difficult or painful subjects, avoiding personal exposure, and there's an unspoken agreement that nothing real will ever happen. And you get together and play the game and with the agreement that we'll all gather back here next week and play it all over again. The other kind of Christian group is the kind that John says we can have as we walk in the light, cleansed by the blood of Jesus. See, there's something humbling about being cleansed by the blood of Jesus. You have to come to him and say, Lord, I need you. I'm a broken sinner. And I need to get washed. And there's a humility in that. You no longer have to play like you've got it all together. And you no longer have to put on that front. You can be transparent. And people are able to say, I'm hurting. I blew it. Or I'm thrilled, or I'm scared, or I'm sick. That's the beginning of real fellowship. It's in the light. Real fellowship with God and with other people. And it can only happen among people who know that they're sinners and know they've been washed. Brothers and sisters, the church is the only organization in the world where the number one qualification for membership is that you have to admit you're not qualified. Verse 8, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. Now, once again, who are you deceiving? Not God, not the people around you, only yourself. And the most dangerous deception of all is self-deception. Now, who in the world would say, I have no sin? Well, in John's time, it was the Gnostics, or the early, sometimes they're called the proto-Gnostics, because the Gnostic movement really didn't blossom until the 2nd century AD. But there were people who denied that they had any sin in them. It was a movement called Gnosticism, and they believed that they were super spiritual. They'd kind of been lifted above this dirty world, and we're all, you know, we believers are all floating around about 10 feet off the ground, and we no longer have sin. Okay. Today, people will tell you, oh, sin, what an outdated concept. I don't really have sins. I have issues. And I'm working on my issues. But certainly, I don't have any sin. Another movement where the simple truth is self-righteousness is endemic to the human condition, isn't it? That all of the righteousness is in me and all of the wrong is in you. The light is in me and my group, and the darkness is in you and your group. You can see this today in what I'm going to call wokeism. My group, because we are enlightened and we see all of the things that are wrong with society, we are, they won't use the term sin, but they're woke. All of the righteousness is in me and my group, and the wrong and the racism and all the other isms are out there in you all. Okay? Now, before we get too satisfied about that, this is one of the deadliest traps, and frankly one of the most frequent traps that Christians can fall into. That the righteousness is in here with us, and the sin is out there in the world. And boy, isn't it bad. Brothers and sisters, we've been washed in the blood, and we needed to be. There's no, at the foot of the cross of Jesus, there is no place for moral superiority. There is no moral high ground at the foot of the cross of Jesus. If we claim we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. Tim Keller, and I know that many of you have read some of Tim Keller's books, and wonderful pastor, writer. He's a pastor in New York City for many years. He's retired now. And by the way, pray for Tim Keller. He's been diagnosed with pancreatic cancer. He he gives a three-part, he suggests three questions that reveal a nominal Christian, a Christian in name only. And the first one is, do you know your own sinfulness and have a growing gratitude for God's mercy? The first test, and this is based on, I'm pretty sure he was basing it on 1 John. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. The first test, says Tim Keller, do you know your own sinfulness and have a growing gratitude for God's mercy? That I know that God had mercy on me and washed me with the blood of Jesus. There's two other tests that he gives, by the way. The second one, are you experiencing the presence of Jesus in your life? Are you? Are you experiencing the living, risen presence of Jesus in your life? Thirdly, is the Word of God shaping your life? Three tests that reveal a nominal Christian. But then verse 9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive our sins, to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Wow. That's a wonderful promise, isn't it? If we confess, God is faithful. He'll do what he promised. He forgives our sin, cleanses us from all unrighteousness. And then verse 10. John really repeats the same principle again. If we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. So let's review. God is light. And that light of God exposes our true condition. But then in faithfulness, as we come to Christ, we're cleansed by the blood of Christ. Let me close with giving you one of the most powerful demonstrations or illustrations of this principle in the entire Bible. And that's in John chapter 8, the woman who was caught in adultery. Remember that the religious authorities dragged this woman to Jesus, threw her down at his feet, and said, we caught this woman in the very act of adultery. The law of Moses says that she should be stoned to death. Jesus, what do you say? And of course, they're hoping to entrap him. They're thinking that he's going to be loosey-goosey about God's law, and then they can entrap him for not obeying God's word. And so what did Jesus do? Well, first of all, he took a moment to bend down and write something in the dirt. Nobody knows what he wrote in the dirt. Perhaps he was just giving everybody a chance to take a breath. Some people speculate that perhaps he was making numerals 1 through 10. To remind everybody of the law of God. And then, of course, Jesus said, whoever is without sin, go ahead and throw the first stone. And John says they began to walk away, beginning with the eldest. You see what Jesus did? He shone a light. The light of Jesus Christ exposed the true condition of everyone there. And then he cleansed away sin. Remember what the book of Romans says, there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Jesus said to the woman, does anyone condemn you? And she said, no. And he said, neither do I. Go and sin no more. In other words, walk in the light. And then Jesus said something, right? Right after that incident, Jesus said, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. What a great promise. Jesus is the light of the world. Do you want to walk in the light? Hold close to Jesus. Keep your gaze fixed on him. Follow him, follow him, follow him. Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, send your Holy Spirit and shine your light into our lives so that we can live in the light. We thank you that we are cleansed with the blood of Jesus and that in the light of Jesus, we can have genuine fellowship with one another. Lord, give us grace to drop our guard, to be gentle with one another, to love one another, to walk in the light as you are in the light, so that the world can see that there's a difference in our fellowship, that there's something genuine in our fellowship. And we pray it in the strong name of Jesus and for his sake. Amen.